Good morning, I'm Carl Cannon. It's Tuesday, September 29th, 2020, and this is the Real Clear Politics Takeaway.
I'm Philip Wegman, White House correspondent for Real Clear Politics.
Phil, are you looking forward to tonight's festivities in Cleveland?
First time these guys are going to be toe-to-toe on the same debate stage. They're not going to be able to sling insults over Twitter. They're actually going to have to talk to each other.
Well, will they be wearing masks?
So they're not going to be wearing masks, but they are going to be socially distant. I think this is going to be one of the first debates where the candidates don't actually shake hands. And then it's probably going to just get even uglier after that. Donald Trump is really going to try and take a pounding to Joe Biden. Well, Biden's going to try and do what no other politician has been able to do, which is survive 90 minutes in primetime against Donald Trump.
I remember in 2000, Al Gore kind of stalked George W. Bush on the stage, came up behind him. Bush had his back turned and suddenly turned around. There was Gore right there, standing there. And Bush kind of snickered. I mean, Al Gore is nobody's idea of a you know, street brawler. He wasn't afraid he was going to, you know, shiv him or something. Barbara Bush said the next day on the morning talk show, I think it was, you know, Good Morning America or something. She says, I thought he was going to hit George. But I guess in the pandemic, you can't get into your guy's space. They got to stay in each of their podium.
Yeah, you can't take a swing at the other candidate, literally. And believe it or not, I actually remember that debate moment. I think I was 7 years old. But that's the thing. You can have all of these policy arguments. You can have these polished one-liners. But it could be a moment like that that is off the cuff that shows who the candidate actually is. And that's the thing that goes viral, that everyone talks about the next day, instead of some, you know, 10-point tax plan. I think that's what both candidates are going to be trying to do. They're going to try and address the challenges of the day, but look for that moment that can define the contest. And talking to, you know, folks in Trump world, it's very clear that he's going to try and get Biden off track by answering questions that Chris Wallace, the moderator, sends to him, and then posing a question to Joe Biden so that he can control the moment.
Well, two things about that, Phil, I want to ask. First of all, one is an observation. It's easy to get Joe Biden off track. He just starts talking usually about Joe Biden, but you know, he's kind of a verbose guy. Donald Trump, who gives, you know, Fidel Castro length speeches at conventions and stuff. So he's the same way. How is Chris Wallace going to control these guys' propensity just to be gas bags, to talk forever?
Yeah, I think that if any journalist can do it, it's probably going to be Chris Wallace, but it's going to be a challenge because both of these guys are very much politicians and they very much like talking about themselves. I think what's going to be really interesting is how Chris Wallace tries to keep them on topic so that this isn't just a bunch of hot air, and so there could possibly be a discussion of actual policy. But the subtext here is that Republicans have always been arguing that Biden is a senile politician who hasn't just lost one step, but he's lost multiple steps. That was their argument through the summer. But now, ahead of this debate, and after Joe Biden was able to give a pretty rousing convention speech, Republicans have reversed course. They're saying, yeah, he's a little senile, but he's actually a very savvy debater. They're trying to raise expectations for Biden and lower them for the president.
Well, that's an old game, but I wonder about this. How many swing voters are there? When I say swing voters, I guess I'm talking about undecided voters. How many Americans in swing states are going to watch this debate and take their measure of these guys? I mean, Trump is a known quantity. People know him already. They have an opinion about him. So thinking of, and Joe Biden's been around forever. So thinking that most Americans already know what they think of these guys, tell me, Phil, in one sentence, what you think each candidate needs to do tonight in order to appeal to undecided voters.
I think that the main topic here is going to be the pandemic and the economy. Trump is going to argue that even though things have downturned in the last couple of months, he can bring back the economy. And Biden is going to be making a similar argument, but putting all of the onus of the bad things on Trump. And then he's going to use, you know, his tagline, which is build back better. I'm not certain if either of them is going to do much other than rally their own bases tonight, though.
You know, my guess, Phil, is that Build Back Better is that's in nobody's mind. What's in voters' minds, whether they use this exact phrase or not, was enunciated 30 years ago now by Ronald Reagan. Wait, 40 years ago. 40 years ago by Ronald Reagan while he's debating Jimmy Carter, an incumbent president. And he asked the American people a simple question. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? If Biden can keep it on that question, you know, in a week in which the Preakness is being, you know, run in Baltimore in September with no fans, where baseball's playing in empty stadiums, where the pandemic, 200,000 Americans are dead, 1 million dead worldwide. We don't know how we're going to bring back the service economy. I think if Biden can keep it on that, the focus on President Trump's record, I think that's the best he can. I think that's really the best he can do. And then it's up to the voters.
And Trump is making this odd argument as an incumbent where he says, look at all of the things that are happening right now. For instance, the violence in some of these cities. And he says, look at this violence that's happening now. I promise you it'll only get worse if Joe Biden is elected. It's very odd to see an incumbent try to run as an insurgent when bad things are happening under his watch.
Well, this debate's in Cleveland. 4 years ago in Cleveland, President Trump promised to fix all that in our American cities. He said if he were elected, it would all end. It hasn't ended, and I think that's the playing field now as we enter the first debate. Let's leave it there, Phil. I'm Carl Cannon, Washington Bureau Chief of Real Clear Politics, and this has been the RCP Takeaway for Tuesday, September 29th, 2020.